Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about holiness. My aim on this program is to help you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever tried to persuade somebody to taste something that they thought couldn't possibly be good? Sometimes that's the way we feel when, as Christians, we speak to others of the joy of being a Christian, and they can't imagine that there could be any joy that would compensate for all the terrible sacrifices and all those awful rules and limitations that we have to keep. But holiness is going to lead to joy. And if you direct your attentions toward learning to know God by obedience and trust, I guarantee that there's going to be joy. If you just taste and see that the Lord is good, just try Him. Try doing what He tells you to do. Try quitting what He tells you to quit. Happy, the Scripture says, is the one who trusts in Him. Some of you are stumbling along, hoping that you're a Christian, doing the best you can, conscious of your failure, feeling sometimes like a hypocrite, thinking of that scary verse, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling," forgetting the last half of the verse, "We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling," because it is God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. There, that verse brings together the mystery of the sovereign God who works quite independently of us, and the man who is created with a free will to choose. There's no way theologically or intellectually that you and I are going to harmonize the sovereignty of God and man's power to choose, but the two things are clearly taught in Scripture and many times occur in the same verse, and this is one of them. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. In order to work out my salvation, that does not mean that I can do things which are going to make me good enough to get to heaven. But it does mean that once I have received salvation by the grace of God, it is a work of grace, you know, we can't earn it. Once we have done that, then we must work out in our daily living what that salvation means. God wants to save us from ourselves. And we are not going to achieve holiness by looking at ourselves. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Let's think a little bit about the vision of holiness. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," what do we mean by that? What do we envision? If I pray, "Hallowed be thy name," then I ask, "Thy kingdom come." If I really want God's name to be hallowed, then the next thing I must pray is, "Thy kingdom come." And if God's kingdom came, how would we feel about it? If His kingdom came and we were not holy, we'd be in big trouble, wouldn't we? And so we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, in the Old Testament, we have many pictures of what true holiness was. You may remember the story in Isaiah 6, where it was the year in which King Uzziah died. And Isaiah says, "I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and His train," or His robe, "filled the temple. Around Him were attendant seraphim, and each had six wings. One pair covered His face, one pair his feet, one pair was spread in flight. They were calling ceaselessly to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And what was Isaiah's response to that dazzling vision of holiness? He says, "As each one called, the threshold shook to its foundations, while the house was filled with smoke." This was his vision, his experience of holiness, and it resulted in his crying out, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Yet with these eyes I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The recognition of holiness is also the recognition of our abject helplessness and worthlessness. Another one of the descriptions of holiness is in the first chapter of Ezekiel, and that is an amazing chapter. I'm certainly not going to read the whole thing to you, but just to give you a glimpse of some of the images. He says that on the fifth day of the fourth month in the 30th year, while I was among the exiles by the river Kebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision of God. And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. I saw a storm wind coming from the north, a vast cloud with flashes of fire and brilliant light about it. And within was a radiance like brass glowing in the heart of the flames. Then he speaks of the hooves of a calf glittering like a disc of bronze, a fire from burning coals or torches darting in and out among these creatures. And then he saw wheels on the ground, wheels which sparkled like topaz, never swerved in their course, and wheels within wheels. All four had hubs, and each hub had a projection which had the power of sight, and the rims of the wheels were full of eyes all around. Then he describes a vault glittering like a sheet of ice, the noise of a great torrent, a sapphire in the shape of a throne, a form in human likeness, a fire with encircling radiance, like a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day was the sight of that encircling radiance. It was like the appearance of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw this, I threw myself on my face and heard a voice speaking to me. "Man," he said, "stand up and let me talk with you." As he spoke, a spirit came into me and stood me on my feet. Just like Isaiah, Ezekiel was devastated by the vision of holiness. He fell on his face. He threw himself on his face, he says. And the same expression is used again in Isaiah 43:2 and Isaiah 44:4. The revelation of holiness is simultaneous with the revelation of our sinfulness. Once we have the least glimpse of how pure, how unutterably pure God is, we will also have a glimpse of how unutterably sinful we are. The word sin is not one that we hear very much anymore talked about, do we? We make mistakes, we fail, but nobody's a sinner anymore. Whatever happened to sin? I think it's the loss of a vision of holiness that has made us lose the understanding of sin. We don't have a very realistic picture of human nature because we don't have a realistic picture of God. And the more we get to know who God is, the more we're going to find out about ourselves. And the revelation of who we are is not going to be a very encouraging one. But don't despair. I love this passage in Isaiah 57. "Thus speaks the high and exalted one whose name is holy, who lives forever. I dwell in a high and holy place." Now that sounds unapproachable and remote, doesn't it? But this is what he says, "I dwell in a high and holy place with him who is broken and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the courage of the broken. There's reason for encouragement, isn't it? Even though he dwells in a high and holy place, he says, I dwell with him who is broken and humble in spirit. Am I speaking to some who are broken today? Some who are heartbroken? The scripture says, a contrite and a broken heart God will never despise. Do you want to be holy? Do you long to see God as he is, to understand his purity, and to understand your own need of him? He's waiting for you to come to him. The cross of Jesus Christ is where we come, and we find there him who dwells in a high and holy place, who has become like an ordinary human being, human flesh capable of death. And there he was, nailed on that cross for you and me. I think of the words of one of my very favorite hymns, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. There's a stanza that says, upon that cross of Jesus, my eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess. The wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. Once we understand the wonder of his glorious love, we will also see our own worthlessness. But he wants to make us holy. He calls us to holiness. Will you come? Will you submit to him? Will you trust him? God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.